I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
While feminists have definitely made some major strides in our society to ensure women are treated equally to men, there's definitely still some work to be done. I would actually say a lot of work, especially when it comes to sexist traditions embedded in our culture regarding marriage. I'm talking about the question every engaged woman hears: are you going to change your last name? According to a study conducted by the journal Gender Issues and published in early 2017, more than 70% of U.S. adults believe that a woman should change her name after she gets married, and about half feel it should be required by law. I'll let that sink in for a minute. I'm Alisa Benson. This is Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast, and today we're having a discussion about changing a woman's last name. We have a jam-packed episode with a full studio panel, and I can't wait to hear everyone's take on this topic. Joining me on the panel today are two of my coworkers from Cosmopolitan.com, Tess Komen. Hi, Tess.
Hi, Alisa.
And Kathleen Camphausen. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thank you.
You guys were actually both just on the podcast recently talking in various capacities about being like newlyweds.
Yep.
And neither of you changed your names. You have been Tess Komen and Kathleen Camphausen the entire time I've known you. We're going to talk more about that later. But first, let me also introduce my friend and actually former coworker on the panel, the author of The Young Wives Club and writer for The Today Show, Julie Pennell. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And you are Julie Miller when I first met you.
I was.
And how long have you been married now, Julie?
3 years.
3 years. Okay, so I'm just going to like dive right into the questions. Did you always know that you wanted to change your name?
Yes. I mean, ever since I was a little girl, like, you know, when you had crushes, you would just like imagine what your last name would be. I feel like it's a tradition.
Yeah.
So there was no question at all.
And Tess and Kathleen, what about for you guys? Did you always know that you would keep your name? Or was this something that you sort of changed your mind about over time? Kathleen, what about you?
I never thought about it. I always knew, like, this is my name, and you just keep your name. Like, you're born, and you have
right.
a name,
it's
and
your
you
name.
Just, like, go about your life.
Yeah.
It was never a thing that I really thought about.
Yeah.
Or debated over.
And did you get any flack from your family or any, like, or from your husband, anyone that was pressuring you to change?
Not at all. I feel like my family kind of, like, gets the type of person I am. And
right. The black sheep never, in the family.
Yeah, it was never really, like, a thing. I never really got questions about it. The only conversation I had about it with my husband was he asked one day if he should take my name.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the only... And I've said no.
Like, yeah. You were like, you have a name.
Why are we doing this? Yeah, no.
But good for him for even asking. I feel like it, for most men, it, like, does not even occur to them. Even men that are maybe chill with, like, their partner not taking their name, I feel like it's still such the norm that the man always keeps his name. Mm-hmm. Tess, what about you?
Yeah, no, mine definitely didn't offer to take mine.
Michael.
Nor did I ask him to. Yeah, classic. But no, I never really thought about it. I happen to really like my name. I also happen to, like, not really like his. So from less of a feminist standpoint and more of just, like what my name would have potentially sounded like, that never really crossed my mind. But no, I feel very attached to my name, and I can't really imagine giving it up.
And Tess, you, what was I going to say? You said, I think this was partly inspired by something you said, because Tess was married recently. How long has it been now? A month and 1 week, exactly. A month and 1 week. Congrats, Tess. But Tess, when we were brainstorming ideas for the podcast, I think this was actually your idea, because you were the one that said, since you've been married, everyone has been asking you about this.
Yes. Well, it's less that everyone has been asking me, and more that they assume that I have. And not that I at all minded opening all of the money that I got for the wedding, but it did kind of bother me to open so many checks that said to Mr. and Mrs. Michael Dollinger.
Right.
Because not only did that assume that I was taking his name, it also assumed that I like, to not even write, like, Mr. and Mrs. Michael and Tess Dollinger. Like, it was just right. getting rid of my name completely.
Right,
and
like, really, you didn't exist.
It bothered me on a deeper level, so.
And can you, I mean, not that you have to get into, like, whether you guys, like, share bank accounts or whatever, but it's sort of, like, if that's not in your name at all, like, can Does you even cost- take that money yeah. on your own if you wanted to? Like, if you wanted to keep all the wedding money for yourself.
That's a good question. We actually preemptively opened our first joint bank account expecting that people would do this. So
yeah,
it speaks to the larger issue that you were just talking about, that people just assume that it's something a woman is going to do.
And did you have that on your honeymoon at all? Did people address you as a couple?
In Greece, everyone called him Mr. Tess Coleman, which is my favorite thing. So we should all move to Greece, basically. And actually, while we were on a lot of tours, we talked about how a lot of the ancient civilizations were matriarchal. And I was like, oh, that's where that's coming from.
Oh.
So that was, it's very interesting that you ask. Yes, but in a different way.
And so, Julie, you made the decision to change your name. And I also, for some reason, as a person with a social media background, I always feel like changing the social handles oh my God, is like the so extra hard. Level. Yeah. So what was the hardest place to change your name? I've heard people say it's weirdly complicated to do like on Facebook.
Oh, no. Facebook that was the easy. Easiest.
Yeah.
I just had my maiden name as my middle name for Facebook and then just put Pinnell at the end. And then Twitter and Instagram were kind of difficult because, you know, it's like kind of awkward.
Yeah, you have to like find a new handle.
Yeah, but it worked out really well because I was, you know, a writer and yeah. Pinnell goes to Pens. So
yeah.
I was like, Julie Pens, love puns.
Yeah. It's actually like a major career upgrade to have a last name right? that like fits so perfectly with being a novelist.
Yeah. And like speaking of that, you know, we live in such a Google world.
Yeah.
And my last name was just so generic, you know, Julie Miller.
Yeah.
And there was also, you know, I was a writer.
Yeah.
That's my career. And there's another writer who works for Vanity Fair who's also named Julie Miller. And so but she was like doing all the A-list celebrity interviews yeah. and all of my friends would always email me and be like, oh my God, your interview was so amazing. While it was kind of exciting to have somebody
yeah.
think that I interviewed Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
It was also kind of like, oh no, that wasn't me.
Right.
So it was just kind of nice to... You know, I was lucky in that sense that I kind of, you know, got to have a fresh start with my name. And I think that the name really works out.
It's, again, perfect name for a writer. But I do think it's specifically interesting as a writer because, it's like you literally make your job by publishing things with your name on them. Mm-hmm. So did you feel any sense of, like, is this erasing my, like, resume of work? Or were you just like, it's the internet, people will Google and see the wedding announcement, like, it's no big deal?
Yeah, you know, I was really lucky in the fact that I had a career in magazines and, like, you know, full-time jobs before. And so, obviously, I had a ton of writing under Julie Miller. But then when I got married, it just so happened, the timing, I ended up going freelance a couple of months later. And so I kind of just got to start fresh with my new last name.
Yeah.
And, you know, did all of my freelance with my new last name. And then I also started writing the book as well.
Yeah.
And so it was just like a no-brainer. Like, that was what I was going to go with for my author name.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is I actually didn't legally change my last name until last month.
Oh,
I've been
really?
Married for 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
But I've been at, you know, I was going by it for professional and social yeah. reasons.
Wait, did that make it difficult at all in terms of, or like if you were traveling, and actually you were living abroad for a while.
Yeah, well that's the reason why I first didn't do it because of all the visa issues.
Okay,
everything.
Yeah, because I would just, in some ways I guess probably to your point about waiting so long to change it legally, that's actually probably the most like biggest cluster
yeah.
to do it legally.
Yeah, no, you know what? I was just telling them before the show, it was not at all.
It was
like
easy.
I really thought, like that's kind of why I was putting it off for so long.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to do the paperwork
yeah.
and all this stuff. I literally walked into the Social Security office and 5 minutes later had my new last name.
You had a new identity.
It was crazy.
Oh my God. And was there anything weird about so long after you were in your new name, sort of like finally like cutting the final cord? That's not really a metaphor, the final cord, but like the last sort of like clinging to your own identity?
You know, I didn't ever feel like I lost my identity by changing my last name. I felt like I've always been the same person, whether or not I have Miller or Pinnell as my last name. And, you know, it was really exciting for me, you know. My husband was really excited. He didn't ask me to change it. It was something that I just, like, wanted to do. You know, I remember texting him when I got, you know, out of the Social Security office, like, I'm officially a Pinnell, you know, and he was like, oh my God, let's celebrate, you know, so it's like, it's exciting to me.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of like, I know this is weird because I feel like every episode on the podcast, I just like fly into some kind of feminist rage about whatever topic we're talking about. But weirdly, this issue, which is so heated, I am sort of just like, well, I feel like it depends on if my like future husband's last name is cuter or not.
Totally.
Like one time I was dating this guy, this really didn't go anywhere, but his last name was Diamond, which obviously I would want to be Elisa Diamond.
Such an Elisa Diamond.
I know, maybe I should look him back up. But yeah, and then, you know, you date some guys with like terrible last names and it's just like, no. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, yeah, so basically I have no real opinion on this subject. Really, like whether or not it's cute. Yeah. And Tess and Kathleen, I have to ask before we jump on the phone with some of our friends, I feel like another thing that gets entered into this issue a lot, which is actually also sexist in its own right, but I'm just going to put it out there. I feel like a lot of people have a lot of concern about, like, well, what will you do with your kids? Have you guys thought about that at all? If you're planning to have kids, like, whose last name they would get?
The only time I think about it is when, like, people ask you, and I just feel like it's such an unfair question.
Right. It's also, like
why
so
do
rude.
I have to even tell you?
Right.
You
know, I don't, none of your beeswax.
I don't really have an answer for it. I think my default would be, I'm fine with my future unquestionable baby, if I have one or not, like, taking his name. I don't really care that much. Like,
yeah.
The baby can have his name. He's the last, like, sperone to carry it on, so that's fine with me. We have a camp house inside going strong.
Yeah.
So. But I don't really care either way.
What if you make your baby's last name Kathleen?
I think Michael has suggested hyphenating, but I don't actually like my last name. Like, it's very long. It's just Camphausen Sprone as a hyphenation is just way too much.
It's so, that's like at least half the letters in the alphabet.
Yeah. Like, my last name on its own is too long already. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. My friend, this has nothing to do with anything. My friend Lauren Felstenstein married a guy whose last name is Bonifacius. So now she's Lauren Felstenstein Bonifacius.
Wow.
We're like, it's too long. Anyway, shout out to Lauren if you're listening. Tess, what about you? Do you think about the, not to assume that you're going to have children or whatever, but do you think about that at all?
I do think about it. Mostly because I hear Michael's parents talking about Michael's brother and his wife and how badly they want them to have babies.
Oh.
And how
No pressure.
And how they assume that those will be Dollinger babies.
Yeah.
And so that's when I sit there and I kind of stew on it for a while. I personally haven't gotten that far. I don't really want to hear it from them.
Yeah.
That just like starts a rage fire in me.
Yeah.
And I don't even quite know why.
Sure.
Like, I haven't stopped to think about why that bothers me so much. I think, again, it's just the assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, again, you've been married for a month and 1 week.
Right.
Give a girl some time.
Shut up, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's just more that they assume they will be Dollinger babies. Like,
right.
They very well could be. I don't know.
Right. Right.
Also, these hypothetical babies. Like, I don't. Yeah. They can decide for themselves. I don't care.
And at least one thing you have going for you is that there is another. You have a brother who I just want to talk about because he's so cute.
He's, oh my God.
Tess has a hot brother.
He's 22 years old. That's fine.
At the wedding,
he like tickled her hand. He was like, coworkers are a good-looking bunch. And I was like, nope,
stop.
Nope.
Was he like, your old coworkers are a good-looking bunch?
No, we didn't get that far. I shut it down pretty quickly.
But what did he mention specifically?
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to say here because I know she listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't need to deal with that.
You're like, I'm not going to say in this cone of silence that's being recorded and broadcast to millions. Yeah. Okay, on that note, I think we should go ahead and call some of our friends. What do you guys think?
Yay.
All right. One of my
favorite things to talk about on the podcast is my latest obsession, Blue Apron. I know I'm not the only person who barely knows how to cook, hates going to the grocery store, buys produce and has it like wilt away in my refrigerator, but that is why Blue Apron has been such a game changer for me. Blue Apron is perfect for people who want a delicious meal, want to kind of learn how to cook, and just don't have the time to plan it all out. Blue Apron comes with fresh, high-quality ingredients that make a real difference because it's so important to know where your food comes from. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. I'm obsessed with doing it with my roommate. It's so fun. You get everything that comes in like cute little bottles and perfectly proportioned exactly for what you need, so there's no waste. It's so easy to do, even if you're a total novice in the kitchen like I am. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-proportioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. If you haven't checked it out yet, do it right now. You can get this week's menu and your first three meals totally for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Cosmo. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Cosmo. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. I'm so excited for our next guest, who is a writer for Cosmopolitan.com, also a lawyer, also author of her new book, The H Spot, The Feminist Pursuit of Happiness. And she wrote a fantastic piece for The Guardian called Why Should Married Women Change Their Names? Let Men Change Theirs. Clearly, she's perfect for the episode. Welcome, Jill Filipovich. Hi, Jill.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's been a while. I feel like there was like a period where you were coming on all the time, and now you're in Kenya, so far away.
I know, but I get to run into you in the bathroom sometimes.
Exactly. I ran into Jill in the bathroom. It was so exciting. So Jill, can you tell us, what is the sort of, your piece for The Guardian, obviously attracted a lot of attention. We're still referencing it now, even though it was a while ago that you wrote it. But can you sort of give the top line on why you, on your opinion about women changing their names?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those subjects that seems to get everybody very heated. My view on this is that our identities are tied to our names. Our names are the words for ourselves, right? The same way we know a chair is a chair because it's called a chair.
Right.
I know who I am because I'm Jill Filipovich. And for pretty much the entire history of marriage in the United States and Western Europe, marriage has been an ownership institution. That's changed in modern life. But for quite a long time, the reason women did change their names is because under the laws of coverture, they were literally folded into their husbands' identities. So married women couldn't own land. They couldn't have their own bank accounts. They didn't have a claim to their children. They couldn't vote because the husband was the sort of the political arm of the family. Their entire identity was folded in to their husbands on marriage, including, of course, their name. Now, obviously, the laws around, land ownership and credit cards and bank accounts and child custody, those have all changed. But we still do what I think is this very strange kind of symbolic thing of women taking their husbands' names and, again, kind of ceding their identity when they get married. To me, if marriage is actually a true partnership and a partnership of two equal individuals who are creating a kind of third relationship, I don't see why either partner should change their name. There's really, I think, no justification for it that isn't wrapped up in sexism and sort of very old ideas about women giving themselves up when they get married.
But what if you just like the idea of sort of like a fresh start, reinventing yourself?
I mean, so I do understand that. I guess I would say I'm not sure then why it's only women who change their name.
Sure.
Men, of course, can legally change their names in most states, but it tends to be much more difficult for them. And almost no men do it. I mean, we hear these stories about, the one man in the blue moon who ends up writing an article about how he changed his name. But, there's so few of them that they aren't even statistically measured.
Right.
So we talk about this like it's a choice. But really, it's only a choice that women think about, and it's a choice that really only women are making. And I totally understand this idea of wanting to have the same family name or, wanting to feel like marriage is kind of a crossing over point. But again, I just find it odd that the onus of this all falls on women.
Sure. But didn't you ever, when you were like younger and you went through that phase in your life where you wanted to be a famous actress, didn't you ever imagine like your stage name?
Yeah, no, of course, of course. And, you know, I have my, like, childhood diaries, right, where I've doodled in the margins, like, Mrs. Jill Butterfield. So, you know, this is something I think that most women are raised with as girls, is this idea that our identities are always kind of hinged on someone else, that they're hinged on, you know, a potential male partner or a husband, and that they're malleable. And, you know, I think this entire model of raising girls to believe that, you know, the person they're born as kind of only exists until they get married is a really toxic one. Mm. You know, and so frankly, I would like to see a culture in which, you know, this wasn't presented as like, oh, it's just a choice, like choose your feminism. But that women kind of collectively said, you know what, no, my name is me. I have my college degree in my name. I have a career in my name. I have family ties in my name. I have a, you know, my last name is Filipovich, which reflects a very specific cultural background. You know, I'm getting married in January. If I were to change my name to, you know, my fiance's last name, it would reflect a culture and a history that has absolutely nothing to do with me. I don't think that's a good way to raise girls, and I don't think it's a good expectation to lay at women's feet.
Would your fiance consider changing his name, or is that, I mean, he probably knows your stance on this, so it's probably a non-issue,
yeah.
But does that ever come up?
Yes. It honestly isn't something that's ever really come up. I mean, I don't think, you know, I would be very surprised if he came to me and, you know, had thought we should even have a conversation about me changing my name. And no, I don't think he would change his either. I mean, you know, he's also an adult man who has a career and accomplishments and bylines and an entire history to his name. So I would never expect him to change his either. You know, I find it interesting that I don't know that he's ever really considered that, whereas, you know, I've written multiple articles about it and certainly thought about it extensively throughout my life, as I right. think most women have.
Right,
it's just
right.
something men don't have to think about.
Right, he doesn't have to think about it. He's like, what, huh, changing your name? But, no, just kidding. But do you think, so, you know, this is a lot. Our conversation so far has really been about a woman making a decision to do this. And you sort of raise a lot of feminist points of why, you know, what that represents and the sort of history of what that represents. Do you think there are also structural things that need to change, or things that are sort of larger than individual choice that we need to happen to make this a little bit more common for women to sort of keep their names? Because one thing we were talking about before we jumped on the phone is how, whether or not you change your name, there are a lot of people in your life, like if you're on vacation, that just assume that you're taking your husband's last name, unless, like Tess, you just said you're on vacation and everyone was calling her husband Mr. Tess Coleman.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But do you think there are sort of other things that change, or this is really something that just needs to start with more and more women deciding to keep their names, which I think is becoming more common?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think there are kind of structural things that need to change. You know, Tess, I've had that exact same experience where Ty is always, you know, Mr. Ty Filipovich, because, or Mr. Jill Filipovich, because I book all of our hotels. Yes, of course, you know, there are certain assumptions about what it means to be married. You know, every sort of married couple I know, when the woman didn't change her name, inevitably gets the kind of mass mailing for, like, a credit card with, you know, with her husband's name on it. Teachers at your kid's school assume you share the last name as your child. You know, there are all these kind of structural impediments. But, you know, I think the reality is changing your name is actually kind of a bigger pain in the butt than keeping it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get a new passport. You have to get a new Social Security card. You have to update your name at your bank. You have to, you know, potentially change your email address and your Facebook name. It's a pretty huge amount of paperwork. But women still do it. So, yeah, I mean, I do think on some level, it does have to be kind of up to women and also to men and to kind of everyone else in society to not put pressure on women to change their names. And I don't really see how this shifts until this kind of romanticization of taking a male partner's name ends. And that's, I think, a cultural problem, not necessarily like a legal or a paperwork one.
Right. And I will say this hasn't been the case with anybody that's been on the episode so far. Like, it seems like everyone we've talked to, their partners have been really chill and really like, whether or not you want to. But we've all heard stories about women where their husbands
were sort of aghast that they wouldn't take their last name, or it became an issue, or like I have friends that have been married for several years and it's still sort of a sore point. So to your point about this really being romanticized and kind of embedded in the culture, it is interesting that a lot of men don't care, but for some it really is a loaded issue for the men too. And that's obviously a lot of pressure to put on you to change your name if you know it's so important to your husband.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it does seem to be tied up in these kind of old ideas of masculinity. I don't have it in front of me, but there's a study that it wasn't really a study, it was more of a sort of an online survey that I cite in my book. I want to say it was from some men's website, askmen.com or something like that. And they asked their readers, would you expect your wife to take your name? And overwhelming majority of men, 80-something percent said yes. And their responses were really telling. They were like, if she doesn't take my name, then, that's emasculating. And if she doesn't take my name, I would think that she wasn't committed to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there was a follow-up question that was, do you ever take your wife's name? And of course, zero men said yes.
Right.
And the responses to that were really similar. They were like, that would be emasculating. And, that would show that, she wears the pants in the relationship and not me. And, if we're going to be a family unit, then, she needs to take my name because otherwise she's going to cheat on me. And it was this real thing that what it, to me, really reflected was the fact that men realize that your name is what your identity hinges on, which is why they would never give up theirs. Mm. And they also realize that women giving up their names in marriage is often kind of a sign of women being submissive and sort of submitting themselves to this old, very patriarchal, traditional model of what marriage looks like, which means that the man is the head of his family, and, the woman is not. And, I think it's very difficult to make the argument that women should change their names without going in with that sort of set of pretty sexist assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Jill, a few minutes ago you said something about how it's pretty commonplace for women to, have this on their mind going into marriage. And yesterday, Kathleen and I were talking, and I kind of thought the opposite, that the people I talk to who have gotten married are either, vehemently sure that they're not going to change it, or they've always known that they have. So do you think there are, what questions would you suggest someone ask herself if she, for the first time is just thinking, maybe I shouldn't change my name? Because I don't know that I know people who actually do think about it. I think they know either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess what I meant is that I think it's something that women have at least kind of considered, whereas for men, it doesn't even, cross their radar screen very often. Mm-hmm. I would say it is, I think, really important to interrogate why you want to change your name and then what sort of assumptions underlie that. So, I mean, one thing that I hear a lot from people pushing back on this idea is my name was just my father's name anyway. Mm. And the kind of underlying assumption there is that women don't get names, right? Because by that logic, how is your husband's name his name? It's his father's name. And then it's not even your father's name, it's their father's name. And, and sort of back and back and back. And I think it does reflect this idea that, men get their names and they get their identities. But female identity is always relational. So even the names we're given that are on our birth certificates that we're called our entire lives, those either belong to some sort of male authority, a father or a husband. Another thing I hear a lot is, his name was just better than mine. Which
that was basically my whole argument.
Right. How did men get all the good last names?
Wait, but Jill, right? One time I dated a guy whose last name was Diamond.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You would be Jill Diamond, too. No, you wouldn't. I'm just kidding. So I actually think the only real solution is to go back to what fifth grade Elisa was thinking about all along, and is just you should just give yourself a stage name. So mine that I always wanted when I was a kid was Alyssa Sterling, which is weird because Alyssa is actually so similar to my first name as well. So anyway, I don't know why fifth grade me thought Sterling was the most exciting last name in the world, but... Well, Jill, thank you so much. And before you go, tell people where they can pick up your new book and what they need to know about it.
Yeah, so the book is called The H-Spot, The Feminist Pursuit of Happiness. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, hopefully at your local bookstore. And it is a look at how happiness and pleasure-centered public policy could improve women's lives in the United States.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jill. We always love having you on.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa Sterling.
Bye-bye, Jill.
Bye, Jill.
Bye. Bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our next guest has a unique story behind her decision to change her name. On the line to share her story with us is Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi. So we've been having some very heated discussions over here at Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast about name changing so far. And you have kind of an interesting story about this. Can you sort of walk us through your decision-ish to change your name?
Yeah. So there isn't a decision.
You're in limbo.
So I got married 2.5 years ago, and you know, when you get married, you fill out the, you know, on your marriage license, you can check, like, I'm changing my last name. This is what my new last name will be. And I did change my name officially on that.
So you took your husband's name at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think one of the reasons that I decided to, well, there were two main reasons I decided to do that and that I was planning on fully changing my last name. One was because at the time when we were planning our wedding, there was a lot of contention. My husband comes from a very traditional family, and my family is a lot less traditional, but his family, we had a really small wedding. We were married by a friend who just got ordained on the internet, so it wasn't a priest or a pastor, and it was at a restaurant, so it wasn't in a church. And his family was already, you know, at
that was a lot for them. Yeah.
Yes, it was a lot for them.
They're like, it has to be in a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were losing it already. Especially, yeah, so they're Catholic. And I don't know if this is true or this was just their impression. I haven't really, like, researched it. But according to them, if you're not married by a priest, then your kids can't be baptized christened in the Catholic Church.
I don't actually know much about Catholicism myself, but I do think that's true. I think that there's the priest thing is important.
They were mostly really concerned, you know, they weren't as concerned that just that we weren't getting married in a church, but they were very concerned that our kids wouldn't be able to be christened.
Sure.
Because of that, so there was a whole, you know, there was a lot of compromise going on already.
Right.
And they are very traditional, and I really think that they would have just lost it
And so that wasn't even something that came up. It was basically just like you were like, I can't even float this by them. Like, they probably all just assumed that you would change your name.
Yeah. And actually, literally, the one place that I have changed my name is on Facebook, where they all exist.
So as far as they know.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't even fully change it. I kept I did the two last names, but I just added the last my husband's last name.
Okay.
So that they would, you know, feel placated a little bit.
So you changed this at the point in time when you were doing your marriage certificate. You changed on Facebook to sort of the keep up appearances. And that's been 2 years. And now you're sort of not sure which way you want to swing.
Yeah. So on your marriage license, you have to put if you're changing your name or not. And that's your, like, free name change. Otherwise, you have to, like, pay to change your name.
Right.
But then in order to actually, you know, put it into action, you have to go, you know, get a new social security card with your new last name, then you get a new driver's license after you have the social security card, and then you can start changing, you know, all your accounts.
And which, just so you know, Julie, who's in the room, did all of this, and she said it was super easy. Just so you know.
Yeah. 5 minutes at the social security
office. It is not the difficulty that is stopping me.
That was what stopped me.
Yeah.
For 3 years,
I always thought it would be like, it would take like hours, days.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah.
So you haven't done any of that.
Basically, I just never went. I still have not gone to the Social Security office. That's the first step, is you have to get the new Social Security card, and I have not done that. And once you do that, you kind of have to, that, like, puts into motion the whole situation, like, you pretty much have to change it everywhere then because your social security card
right.
has the other name.
Like in the eyes of the state or whatever.
Yeah, so I've just been kind of putting that off. I don't know. Basically, the classic feminist argument of not changing your name is why I don't really want to change my name.
Right. But you've already dipped a toe in.
I feel an identity with it, and I also have a job in which my name has been tied to a lot of my work.
What does your husband feel about all of this?
I think he feels a little neutral. You know, it'll come up in, like, it only comes up when we're already fighting about something.
Hey, it's like the go-to fight.
If
every
we're
couple has
about
one.
Something, then it'll come up that, like, why haven't you changed your name yet?
Yeah.
Mainly because, you know, I think if we had agreed right at the get-go that, like, I'm not going to change my name, he would have been fine with that. Like, we discussed this, and we mutually decided that I was going to.
Right.
And so then I think he's like, well, why are you putting this off? We decided on this.
Right.
So it has kind of come up in moments of contention.
Duh, man. We change our minds. Come on.
I know. I know. But actually, I think I'm just in this kind of, like, weird middle period, because the other reason that I did want to change my name is that I do kind of value that having the same name once you have kids.
Right.
I don't want, you know, I feel like... You know, I've heard of parents who they have two kids and each kid has one of their last names. It's, like, too confusing. It's like, I just want to be, like, the blanks, you know? The Johnsons.
Yeah.
But, so I do want that, and I don't really care if what last name that is.
But that idea of sort of one name for your family unit.
Yeah, so
important.
I think once we get more serious about having kids, that'll be, and then I'll, like, actually take action.
Right. So you say now. All right, I'm calling you. I'm calling you as soon as you get pregnant.
Yeah, I have another friend who did a similar thing, which she has a last name, a maiden last name that was tied to her, like, racial identity. And so she didn't really want to get rid of that. But then after they'd been married a few years and they decided they wanted to have a kid, she actually ended up adding. So she has the two last names.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it just takes a while to have a reason to make that decision.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think everything you're saying, I think, just really illuminates that these aren't simple choices. Like, maybe at some point it felt like a really obvious thing to do or kind of what everyone does. But I think your situation proves that a lot goes into this and it can be really loaded. So thank you, Michelle,
although
for sharing.
My method is not recommended.
Oh, yeah. Just avoid it until you're forced to
Just make a decision when you get married and go with that. You shouldn't drag it out.
Maintain two identities, live a double life. Yeah. Well done. Applauded. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our last guest chose to take on her husband's name, but she didn't do so until their 10-year wedding anniversary. On the line to tell us why the change didn't happen right away is Alicia Conway. Hi, Alicia. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. So you took your husband's name after 10 years. Why the wait?
Yep. Well, I wasn't going to do it. And, you know, what happened was when we first got married, I thought I would keep my maiden name as a middle name. And then I would take his last name, which is way cooler than my last name. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'll do. It's totally fine. And then when we talked about it, I said, you know, it'd make me feel a lot better if you would take my middle name or my last name as your middle name. And he was like, no, that's not my name.
Oh.
And completely freaked out. And I was like, wait, that's how I feel. So I got kind of stubborn and I was like, you know what? That just cemented it for me. I was like, no, I'm going to keep my name. I'm going to keep the name I was born with.
So 10 years later.
Yeah. So, right. Exactly. So for 10 years, that was basically fine. And then I just got kind of sad that we didn't all have the same name. I mean, the two of us didn't have the same name.
Yeah.
And I thought it's kind of sad to me that we don't sound like a family because we feel like a family.
Yeah.
And so basically I started to think about it and we aren't big on presents, like physical presents. We don't really exchange gifts like people normally do, I guess.
Right.
And about 10 years in, I was like, you know what? I think it would be really kind of a nice gesture for him if I took his name. And the reason his name is because my last name I've never particularly loved. It just doesn't sound like I wish it sounded. Hmm. And I like his name better objectively. And I realized that there are like three ways we could go. We could either, you know, take one of each other's names, or we can make up a completely new name, or we could just keep our names or combine them. And I was like, you know, of all the choices that we have, the truth is that if objectively I like his name the best, so there's no reason not to take it. And I just had a change of heart and decided that I would take his name.
I don't know if I actually said this when I introduced you, but his last name is Rock, right?
Yeah.
So Rock. Yeah. So you're now Alicia Conway Rock.
Right. And actually,
it's a good name.
It's a great name. And I personally go by just Alicia Rock.
Okay.
And I use Conway Rock as my professional name.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Rock is a good last name.
It's almost like diamond.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's just like, I really think none of this would have happened if my last name had been Rock and he had been a Conway.
Right. Right. Or what if his last name had just been something really boring like Smith?
I wouldn't have taken it.
Right.
I wouldn't have taken it. I really wouldn't have. I mean, it really just came down to like, you know, I wanted us to have the same family name and I picked the cool one.
And so that seems as good a reason as anyway. How did friends and family react to you doing this a decade after you guys got married?
You know, what's funny is I think most people were just like, whatever, Alicia.
Right.
by that point.
No one cares. Like, you're old news.
Well, not just that, but also my parents, you know, they're kind of like, you're going to do what you're going to do. And they expect that from me now.
Right.
So, I think they were surprised. I mean, certainly my parents were surprised. My husband was floored.
Yeah.
Like, he 100% fully never imagined I was going to do this, and he was floored. But our family, our friends are just, they've just rolled with it. They've been like, okay, yeah, sure, your name's Rock now. That's cool.
And do you still catch yourself, you know, you've lived a lot of life with, you know, in a marriage with holding on to Conway as your last name, do you slip up and still say that sometimes? Or are you now a Rock through and through all the time?
No, I do it all the time. I answer the phone Alicia Conway all the time.
Right. So you're still adjusting.
Yeah, totally.
And so do you feel glad that you waited so long to make this decision? Because one thing we've really been exploring on the podcast is how this decision that maybe at some point in our lives we felt like we was almost an obvious decision or something everyone did is actually very sort of fraught and emotional. Do you feel like spending 10 years thinking about this made you more certain that this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I needed the 10 years. I'm really glad I didn't do it when I got married. I think I would have felt really torn.
Yeah.
I really do, because I felt really uncomfortable about it. And I think that's obvious that all he had to say to me was, that's not my name. And I was like, well, that's how I feel.
Right.
I mean, like, the fact that it was like, all he had to do is go like, no, I feel uncomfortable. I'm like, well, I feel uncomfortable, you know, so right. I wasn't sure.
Right.
And I feel pretty good about having kept my name all the time. Although I will say that I've had a couple of things that have happened with me professionally that I kind of wish were under my old name, but right. That's really, I mean, there's no way around it. I needed the time.
Right, right, right. Well, in some ways, Alicia, I feel like it's a really nice story because it is a reminder that, like, marriage is forever. And so if it takes you 10 years to make a decision, that's fine. You have a whole lifetime together. There's no rush.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. And we'll check in with you on in another 10 years to see if, if it's stuck.
See if I changed it back.
Exactly, exactly. Thanks so much.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guys, I feel like this has been such an exciting conversation. For some reason, it's just made me even more excited to change my name. Talking about all the drama and sort of potential anti-feminism associated with it has just made me really excited.
So are you going to do Alicia Sterling?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I think that is the consensus that we've come to from now on. This podcast is hosted by Alyssa Sterling. Anything that you guys took away from the conversation or anything that made you, as people who have lived through this, I'm like staring at you like you're through a fishbowl. Anything that really resonated with you guys today?
I don't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I realize I've been sitting on the solution the entire time we've been talking. In September, I'm going to a wedding with people whose last name is both Goldberg.
Oh.
We should all just marry someone with our same last name.
Oh my God, you're
how
so
easy for her.
Right. You're
and
so
him.
Right.
how easy for them.
Yeah. I went to school with somebody that had my last name, but then he came out of the closet.
Oh, so it wouldn't have worked in your particular case, but there are other Bensons.
Yeah, I know. I need to find them. Bensons out there, hit me up. Marry me.
So that is what I've taken away from all of this.
That is a great solution. We're really just solving this problem. Kathleen, what about you?
One thing, or basically just the way that Jill explained and phrased something, you had asked me, like, what will you do when you have kids? And I never know how to answer that. I just know that that question always bothers me.
Yeah.
And I feel like she explained it in a way that made sense to me. It's just, why do I have to answer? Like, why is that question only towards me? Yeah. Why do I have to think about it? Why
is it like business?
It's like the question of, like, oh, well you're going to have a baby. Are you going to stay home? Like, the man never gets asked.
Yeah.
That. So it's just kind of like, all of the pressure from society is always just focused on our side.
On the woman. Yeah. Oh, my God. You should just, next time someone asks you rudely, like I did earlier today on the air, recorded for all of time, you should just be like, why are you asking me that?
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know the answer to that. But it's frustrating that I have to be the one to figure it out.
Right.
Also, something else is that the idea of my future potential child having a last name that isn't mine doesn't bother me because they will not have had to change their name. They just like get that name. I don't really feel compelled to share a name because it's still my baby.
Right.
It's just something that particularly doesn't bother me.
Right. It's like, it's your kid no matter what. Even if you name it like, I don't know, double cheeseburger. Love it's still it. Your kid. I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of. I must be hungry. Julie, what about you? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think like everybody has good points. You know, I'm obviously...
You are repping the name changers.
I'm repping the name changers, but I also see where other people are coming from. And like, if I was forced to do it, heck no. Like, yeah. I would not, you know, like out of principle, but it was my decision, my choice.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's the feminist thing, you know?
Yes.
Like, I got to choose what I wanted to do, and that was what I wanted to do. And like, I just feel like everybody should be able to choose, and nobody should judge anybody for anything.
Yes. Judgment-free zone. And again, if you are a novelist and you get the chance to make your Twitter handle Julie Pens, you better do it. And on that note, we do always end by telling people where they can stalk all of us on social media. Julie, do you want to just remind people where they should pick up your book, The First Wives Club? It's such a great summer read, and where they can follow you online.
Yes. So The Young Wives Club. Everybody gets confused with The First Wives Club. It's The Young Wives Club.
Oh, did I say First Wives Club? I'm sorry.
It's totally, totally fine. Yeah, it's everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstores. And then, yeah, you can find me on social media, like we've said 1,000 times, Julie Pens on Instagram and Facebook.
So catchy.
Or, sorry, Twitter, not Facebook.
So catchy. Tess, what about you?
Last time I did this, I had to walk through my Twitter handle, and it was embarrassing. So try me on Instagram at Tess Koman, K-O-M-A-N. Thank you.
And Kathleen?
I am at Hey Guys, Hey Photo on Instagram and Twitter.
And as always, I am at Elisa Benson on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. And thank you guys always for listening and tuning into another episode of the Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast. Maybe next time I talk to you guys, I'll have a totally different name. Who knows? Maybe I'll be engaged to another Benson out there in the world. One can only hope. But as always, thank you so much for sharing and rating and listening and subscribing and doing all the things you do with the podcast. If there's a topic you want to hear us talk about next week, hit me up and let me know. At Lisa Benson. Otherwise, I will see you guys next week. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.